You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll learn about a statewide project that uses objects and artifacts to reveal Wisconsin's history.
First, there have been a lot of headlines over the last several months about antibiotic resistance, including the news a few weeks ago that the first strain of bacteria resistant to antibiotics of last resort was discovered in the U.S.
But antibiotic resistance is a complicated and nuanced issue, and you may not have the full picture. Gemma Tarlak of Discover Magazine is with us for a rundown of everything you need to know about this topic and more.
Gemma's senior editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha, and she joins us once a month to talk about the coolest science headlines of the day. Gemma, welcome back to Central Time.
Hello, and I am going to talk really fast today to make sure you get everything worth knowing.
Well, we're going to start out with something pretty cool and also kind of puzzling. There apparently is a new maybe geologic formation in Upper Michigan that has got a lot of people stumped. What do we know about that?
Yes, and you know, I love the story because the researcher is such a character. So overnight, literally, this geological formation appeared up in the northern part of the UP, and basically, it was like the earth split in two for about the length of a football field. And no one could figure out what it was, so Wayne Pennington from Michigan Technological University, he is a geophysicist there, he went up and, you know, he admits that he was just thinking it was going to be a landslide or something not particularly sexy, so he actually stopped by the site on his way back from a conference, and he was wearing, like, his dress shoes, and he was not ready to be tromping around in the swampy woods. But he figured out it's actually a pop-up, and this is a really unusual formation to find there, because pop-ups happen when the rock layers spring up suddenly after a weight has been removed. And if you think about a glacier retreating, after the huge weight of the glacier gets off the ground, that the rock layers beneath will spring up in a pop-up. So the question is, what is it doing in the UP? And they figured out, they kind of went through this whole puzzle, and they're not really 100% sure, but they did figure out that it may have had something to do with road work years ago, and then a large tree finally toppling over, and just the combined effect, voila, strange geological formation you don't expect to find in the UP.
So I have to say, we think of geological events as being millennia in the past, but this is something that's just happened.
Yes, kaboom, overnight. There you go.
So
you know, a lot of times after an earthquake, you'll see, you know, the very dramatic footage of, you know, the roads shifting or a house's foundation dropping several feet. And this is basically on that scale. It is that substantive. And overnight, no one expected it. There's no geological faults in the area. Just, boop, there it is.
So it seems like it's fairly, although it does happen, like you said, with earthquakes and the like, but it seems like this is kind of an amazing opportunity for scientists to be able to study something as it happened.
Yeah, this is, as far as the researchers involved know, this is the only naturally occurring pop-up that they have found under these circumstances. Again, in a place like a quarry or in the wake of a retreating glacier, you may find them, but this is the only time they've actually been able to say, yes, at this hour and this date and this time, boom, the pop-up happened.
We're getting the latest in science news with Gemma Tarlak, senior editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. And Gemma, this month Discover has created a large section and it's called Everything You Need to Know. What's the idea behind that new section?
Yes, this is our special. It's the first time we're doing this. It's called the Everything Worth Knowing issue. And we took a couple dozen topics and just, you know, if you're at a dinner party, or if you're talking to a colleague, you know, casually, every now and then someone will say, oh, I heard about stem cell research, or oh, they discovered this new black hole. And let's face it, you know, you cannot possibly be up to date on every single topic. So what we did was just basically in 2 to 4 pages per topic, we really wanted to give people kind of just a baseline so that if you hear a story on the news, say, about stem cell research, you don't have to ask yourself, oh my gosh, what is that? You can really just refer to this, have a baseline, and be like, oh yeah, I know what they're talking about. And then, you know, you'll be able to absorb the news of the discovery or the new treatment right away without worrying about kind of the basics.
I have to say, I think a lot of Wisconsin trivia teams are going to be doing a lot better thanks to this feature. Well, let's dig into some of these topics. What do we need to know about that antibiotic resistance that we mentioned?
Well, you know, I think the thing we all know already about antibiotic resistance is that it is a big issue and it's a scary issue. But the good news is there are some really smart people making advances and moving us past this, you know, doom of antibiotic resistance. There are some really interesting treatments and some things, they're still experimental. They're not, you know, available from your doctor yet, but it's not quite as hopeless as I think some of the headlines make it seem when you hear, oh, this new resistant and a, you know, resistant bacteria is going to doom us all. It doesn't happen. We're working our way through it. Science is going to save us. I'm confident.
Well, let's hopscotch over to one of your favorite topics, Gemma. This is close to your heart, the study of human origins. And what is the latest there?
Yeah, the latest is that we don't know everything. that's been the case for a long time. And there are some things we do know, like we can chart some a basic family tree. But the more research we do, the more fossils we find, the more that tree looks like a bush rather than, you know, like a really tall, stately pine with one pinnacle, that being us. So we talked to a lot of different researchers, and the really exciting thing happening now in the field is that they're able to push further and further back how far they can sequence DNA, residual DNA found in some of these fossils. You know, it seems like every year they double the age of the fossil that they can actually sequence the DNA. And that's important because that's going to tell us a lot about the relationships between species. So it's a really exciting time to be in the field. And, of course, they're finding brand new stuff. I mean, you remember last year, Homo naledi, this brand new species, mm-hmm. they found tons of examples of it in South Africa.
And what are the next steps in figuring out the map of that bush of human existence?
Well, you know, like I said, they're always improving the ability to look backwards, genetically speaking, but it's still incredibly complicated. Like, you know, I think there's a 12,000-year-old infant whose DNA they were able to sequence a couple of years ago, and talking to the researcher who did it, he said 98% of the material in their sample was bacterial contamination. So only 2% of their sample was actually the DNA of the individual that they then were able to sequence, and it's a very complicated process. Mm-hmm. But the good news is we're getting better and better at it, and I think that's really the wave to the future, although we are still finding new fossils too, which is super cool.
Now, to touch on another topic that you cover in this new section of the magazine is creativity. What's the cutting edge of creativity?
Well, the exciting thing is, you know, I think a lot of people have been, oh, I'm not a creative person. Oh, you know, that person's so much more creative than I am. But scientists have actually found a number of attributes that mark creativity, but also ways you can spark your own creativity. And it's about having an open-minded personality and also having low latent inhibition levels, which is, again, kind of tied to the open personality. But also, there are really actually steps that you can take to make yourself more creative and improve your creative process. And it's everything from heading outdoors. Actually, spending time outdoors is associated with physiological changes that improve creative thought in the brain. So it's stuff like that, it's stuff like meditating, and you know, sometimes it's stuff like just doing it, just being willing to, you know, jump on that stage and take the mic in your hand and do some karaoke and just not care how it sounds. And that's a lot of what's behind the creative process.
Well, I'm one of those people that would say that I'm not very creative, but I'm also a kind person, so I'm not going to subject anyone to my singing. But maybe I'll head outdoors. And now it's summer. People are heading to the beach. You've just written about sharks. What are some of your favorite shark facts?
Well, first, don't fear the sharks, okay? We are much more of a threat as a species than sharks. And speaking of species, there are about 500 known species of shark. You can find them everywhere from sort of brackish water estuaries all the way to 10,000 feet below the sea level. So it's exciting. They're all over the place. There's so many different kinds, and they're just fascinating animals that are, you know, 455 million years old.
The different variety of sharks sort of blew my mind. You write about in this piece both a shark that can fit in the palm of your hand and the oldest shark, which I guess is a goblin shark, and a shark that could swallow you if it were inclined to eat people, the whale shark. What did you learn about just the different kinds of sharks, Gemma?
Well, you know, one of the things that blew my mind talking about size is that if you're at all a shark fan, you know that, you know, Megalodon was kind of the big guy. He's been extinct about 2.6 million years, but Megalodon was just absolutely enormous, more than 50 feet long. And just reading this one paper that came out in 2010 about paleontologists uncovering this 10-million-year-old megalodon nursery. And so they're describing all the fossils, and the fossils are like, we found a newborn that was 6.2 feet long.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh, the newborn is taller than I am.
Wow. Well, Gemma, thanks so much for being with us. It was fascinating as always.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Gemma Tarlak, senior editor at Discover Magazine, which is based right in Wisconsin in Waukesha. She joins us once a month to talk about the latest big science headlines.